Praise the Lord. Message number 85. The title of the message, The Second Coming of Christ, Part 2. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Bless this time, O Lord, and as we discuss your word, that your word will bring understanding and wisdom and revival in the life of your church and your people and each and every one of your disciples, that your word and the Holy Spirit will prepare us, O God, so that when you will come, we are ready and we will be taken by you. Lord, anoint my lips and let your word bring you glory and honor. Let be, Lord, a hundredfold harvest in the life of your people. We thank you and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We discuss in the previous part of the second coming of Christ that there will be increasing wickedness, corruption, injustice, immoralities, and so much things away from God. We'll be persecuted as we decide to stand firm for the Lord and to do His will. The message here today also encourages us to continue on in living our life unto Him and to serve Him wholeheartedly. Matthew 24 verse 13 is saying, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Not for 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 1 month or 6 months, but to the end until he comes. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. As we stand firm, we are called by the Lord to live the gospel, to live the word of God, and to preach the gospel. Our life should be a testimony to others, encourage them and challenge them to follow Christ and walk in His ways. Preaching the gospel is one of the signs of His second coming. Now we find that a lot of effort to bring the gospel to people who are unreached, different languages and ethnic groups that have not yet reached. The church is enduring and doing a great work of different denominations to bring the gospel to those who are unreached. So how much more for us? We need to be ready now for His second coming. As the word of God preached all over the world and reaching all the ethnic group, we need to prepare ourselves because His coming is soon. The Lord in Matthew 25, He spoke to His disciples, to His workers, three parables in order to prepare them, in order to prepare us for Him. We need to be ready when He comes. We need to be in service when He comes. We need to be in full and filled with the Holy Spirit when He comes. We discuss these three parables that speak about the way we need to prepare ourselves when He will come, what He should see in us when He comes. The first parable is the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, verse 1 to verse 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who take their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are coming out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Here we find the virgin. The church is the wife of Jesus. As in this parable, there were five virgins who are wise and five who are foolish. Physically, they look the same. Believers. They read the Bible, they attend the church, they pray, but there are differences spiritually. Some are prepared and ready, some are not. The wise, what they did, the wise, they prepared their lamps with oil. The oil here is the Holy Spirit. They prepared the lamps so that when bridegroom came, they lighted up, they trimmed their lamps, and they went out to meet him. The foolish, they did not prepare oil. The question, do they know that they need to prepare oil? Oh yes, they know that, because when he came, they went to the wise and told them, "They give us some." So they know that they need to keep an oil ready for that purpose. They were not ready, although they know they should prepare themselves. Now many, they know what are the things that they need to do, but they are complacent. They are lazy. They are always procrastinating. Anyhow, the Lord is not coming now. Let us now rest. God, when He will come, we will prepare ourselves. So they know about His coming. They know we are waiting, but they are not willing to be energetic and to go forward to prepare themselves. So here speak about laziness. They were lazy. Many Christians are lazy. They know the thing that they need to do and prepare themselves, but they are complacent and keep procrastinating. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 32 verse 34 speak about laziness. "I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I apply my heart to what I observe and learn a lesson from what I saw. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." So here, because he is lazy, the owner of the field will find thorns and weeds. The wall is broken. You know, the thing that he need to do, he need to remove the thorns, he need to repair the wall, remove the weed at the proper time before he plants. but he is not doing that. The same for those lazy, not lazy, foolish virgin. You see, he is a man who lack judgment, a man who is foolish. He knows that the thing that he need to prepare, but he did not do. Also, we learn from this parable of the 10 virgin is that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Lord came, they don't have oil, they don't have the Holy Spirit. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, Apostle Paul said, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. God called us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Many, they are unfilled with the Holy Spirit, or they are not led by the Holy Spirit, because they are led by other things. They are filled with wine, filled with TV, filled with love of money, filled with unforgiveness, filled with bitterness. The parable of the 10 virgin is show us the condition of the church: sleepy, careless, and progressing church. Keep things aside. Why? Because the heart is being controlled by some evil things creeping into your hearts: laziness, complacency, love to watch TV, love to get fun more, love of money. These are creeping into your hand in a subtle way. You are Christian, but you are not aware. Devil is invading you. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Time now for the church to wake up from sleeping, to rise up from the dead. When we are stagnant, not reading the Bible, not meditating on the Word of God, not praying, lazy, weak, then that is the dangerous situation. The Lord may come and you may miss Him. The message today is a calling for revival. Is a calling to come back, to wake up from your sleep, to wake up from your slumber, to wake up from folding your hands. God wants you back to Him. You had been moved little by little away, you are not aware. And today the message is asking you to come back diligently, to love the Lord with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and to serve Him. We will read the next parable in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrust his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Also, the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants return and settle accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. In this parable, we learn that we are entrusted from the Lord with a lot of things. The talents, 1 talent is around 700 pounds. So even the person who has 1 talent, he has much. He has received much from the Lord. He has received much from the Lord. And the Lord is calling you to be accountable of the things that you have received from him. What are the things that you have received from the Lord? We have received life, time, job, families, children, talents, souls, opportunities, ministries, spiritual gifts. How we manage all that as we are waiting for his second coming. As we are waiting, God wants us to be diligent, to be wise, not lazy, and to be fruitful, effective, productive. How much God want from us productivity? We learn from this parable, the one who received 5, he give back 5 more, 100% productivity. God give us mind, give us strength, give us resources. How to use these resources are very important. How to manage and how to use them are very important. God calls us to be multiplier. You know, speak that about the person who received 1 talent and say that he went off. He went off and he hid what he had received. God does not want us to went off. God wants us to continue on. As we are moving forward As we are waiting for him, we are moving forward diligently. We are doing the work. Many, they don't want to serve God. They just want to attend. They just want to give their tithes. But that's not enough. God wants us to reach souls. God wants us to go and make disciples. God wants us to multiply of what we have received from him. God is calling you to be accountable. What you have done with your children, what you have done with your family, what you have done with your job, what you have done with your profession, what you have done with your talents, what you have done with your money, what you have done with your contacts, what you have done with the spiritual gift that you have received from the Lord, what you have done with the ministry and the congregation and the souls that the Lord had in trust to you to care. That is here the message. As we are moving forward to receive him, as he will come, that we will meet him, God wants us to be watchful, awake, so that we will not go into tribulation, so that the door will not be closing. And also God wants us to be fruitful. What are the things that make that servant unfruitful? The Lord mentioned laziness, and we spoke about it. And he told him, lazy, wicked servant, wickedness, sin in the life of the workers, in the life of the disciple, make you unfruitful, ineffective, unproductive. Sin. In the first part, in the first parable that we spoke about, the 10 virgins, the 5 virgins, sin was passive, complacent. They are not doing wrong, but they are not doing right. Lazy. Flatline. No effort. But here, in this parable, not only laziness is the reason, but wickedness. Sin destroying the blessing of God, destroying the things, the plan of God that had the Lord had ordained for you to do and to live in. Sin, active sin, immorality, stealing, love of money, corruption, unforgiveness, hatred, revenge, telling lies, witchcraft, homosexuality, active sin in your life make you unfruitful, ineffective in your ministry. In your hand there are good resources. Your selfish ambition, your sinful nature, your stubbornness have taken the blessing of God and made you ineffective, unfruitful. God wants you to be a multiplier. The Lord is coming soon. Clearly, in these two parables that we have read, there is judgment to the workers who are not willing to repent and who are not willing to go along the word of God and follow his ways. God wants us to be fruitful. What we receive from him, we have to give it back to him with 100% productivity. Double what he gave us. We are called to give an account. Before he come, this word of him to us always remind us. Even as you read the Bible, as you hear the message, the Lord is speaking, the Holy Spirit is telling, what you have done with these things. I had given you much. I had given you that and that and that and that and that. What you had given back to me. Correct yourself, repent. The time is near, the time is nearer, the time is short for his second coming. Still there is chance before he will come, then there will be a final judgment. Don't wait to enter the tribulation, weeping and gnashing and of teeth. When he will come, is the time for judgment, not the time for forgiveness. This is the time of grace. Don't abuse the grace of God. Repent of that particular sin. cut away sin in your life and walk and live for the Lord. So here we find that wickedness will harm us. Wickedness will make us unfruitful, ineffective, and sin will make us unready for the second coming of the Lord. The third parable in Matthew 25, verse 31 to verse 46, the parable of the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in a prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick, and in a prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in a prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now here, what the things that we learn from this parable speak about sheep and goat, and how the Lord differentiating the sheep from the goat. The sheep, they are willing to share, they are willing to feed, they are willing to give, they are willing to invite in, they are willing to clothe, they are willing to look after, they are willing to visit. These are the things. Now, God wants us to be good stewards, to be diligent, and good number of us like that. But there's one more things that God wants us to do. God wants us to share of what we have, whether time, whether finances, effort, place of living, because that is how we can do the Great Commission. In Matthew 28 verse 19 and 20, the Lord say, "Go, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, how we can go if we are not willing to share, if we are not willing to invite, if we are not willing to feed, if we are not willing to clothe, if we are not willing to go and visit and sacrifice our time? As we are waiting for the Lord, God wants us to be a church, diligent, good steward, good manager of what He gave us, away from sin, and willing to share, not to be selfish and self-centered on ourselves. How to pamper more ourselves, how to care more for ourselves. No, God wants us as a church to be caring more for others. In James, you know, I am seeing the Great Commission of the Lord. I am seeing it also in the book of James. The Lord say, go and make disciples. James say, James is the half brother of Jesus. He say, religion that God our Father, James 1 verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts are pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans, here, orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Hear what the Lord wants us to do, to care for others, orphans and widows. As we are looking forward for His coming, we are also moving forward. As we are moving forward, we are preaching the gospel. As we are preaching the gospel, we show we are willing to share and to care and to visit and to invite and to feed and to clothe and to take care of orphans and widows. That's what the Lord wants to see His church. Full of love, show that by willingness to live a pure and holy life, and willingness to share and to give, so that the testimony of the Lord will be strong. He want to see His bride, His wife, ready, pure. Pure from pollution of the world. He want to see us full of love, fruitful, effective, productive, multiplying, reaching the lost, transforming the life of the people by the power of His word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and with our life testimony, as we live in purity, as we are willing to share. The Lord is coming soon. Wake up and be ready. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word to us. We magnify You and we worship You for all what You have achieved to us, O God. And Lord, I pray that the message will bring the revival that You delight to see in each and everyone life. I pray for more workers to rise up to serve You, O God. I pray for more getting courage through Your word, O God, to take off all sin and get rid of all things that is entangled, and to fix their eyes unto You, unto Jesus, unto Your word, and to do the things that You and that You want us to do for You, O God. I pray, O God, and I rebuke the spirit of laziness in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, for a true revival that come, Lord, from You, O God, and many they will have the delight in serving You. Lord, I pray You take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it reach those who are willing and those who are waiting to hear Your word and Your voice. We thank You and we praise You. This is all we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. O Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let Your hand be with us and keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.